So I have a question today that I want to know how versed this group is. And the question is, because this is, no doubt you have seen folks last Wednesday receive ashes on their forehead, walking around visible, either on news or maybe in public, whatever it is. And so when you see that, it's Lent. It's Lenten season. It's Lent. But what is the meaning of Lent? Is everybody clear on what it is and what it isn't? It's like, why do they do it? Okay, now go. Okay, good. So you would think that in an age of information and every form of instruction that we have at our hands, how is it that we don't come to a complete understanding of what Lent is? For one, it may not pertain to us, and so we don't look into it. And another reason is that it may be looked at as following a tradition. And generally, that's what people do. They follow the tradition, and they themselves may not have a full understanding of what Lent is. We're going to look at one who observes it and who doesn't observe it, why they observe it, and how does one observe Lent? So what is this thing called Lent? And the short answer is it's a period of fasting, moderation, and self-denial traditionally observed by Catholics and some Protestant denominations. There are Protestant denominations that observe it as well. Some Pentecostals, some Anglicans, some Presbyterians, unless I said that. But it isn't just Catholics who observe it. I took this from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. It says, Lent is a 40-day season of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving that begins on Ash Wednesday, we're going to talk about that, and ends at sundown on Holy Thursday. It's a period of preparation to celebrate the Lord's resurrection at Easter. During Lent, we seek the Lord in prayer by reading sacred scripture, we serve by giving alms, and we practice self-control through fasting. We are called not only to abstain from luxuries during Lent, but to a true inner conversion of heart as we seek to follow Christ's will more faithfully. We recall the waters of baptism, in which we were also baptized into Christ's death, died to sin and evil, and began a new life in Christ. Many know of the tradition of abstaining from meat on Fridays during Lent, but we are also called to practice self-discipline and fast in other ways throughout the season. Contemplate the meaning and the origins of the Lenten fasting tradition in this reflection. In addition to giving of alms, is one way to share God's gift, not only through the distribution of money, but through the sharing of our time and talents. As Saint John Chrysostom reminds us, not to enable the poor to share in our goods is to steal from them and deprive them of life. The goods we possess are not ours, but theirs. That's what the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has on their website. I don't know how many of my friends and family that are in the Catholic Church actually have gone to the site to see what they actually say about this. So I want to look at the three things that they listed above. Giving alms, what is that? Donating money or goods to the poor and performing other acts of charity. Donuts would fit into there, right? You brought them for others.
Yeah, but we should...
Fasting, to deny the donuts. No, to deny the body of food for a certain period of time. That's what fasting is. And also it lists reflection. What is that? To spend time looking at the goodness of God in our lives. It is always a good thing to incorporate those three things into our daily walk with God, but not just during the 40 days of Lent. We do that all through the year. And I understand why they do it. I get it. But the Bible gives us no mandate to do it during a specific time of year. See, a lot of the folks don't realize that. It's always a good thing to be taught the importance of what the Bible teaches and not to rely on rules made by a denomination or a group of people. And I want to be respectful here because I have a lot of family and friends that are in the Catholic Church and I love them, but I would also love them to be informed of what the Word of God says regarding such sacraments, things that they have made rules to. And the reason is that I look at what the U.S. Catholic Bishops state in their webpage. They also write, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday are obligatory. What does that mean? You're obligated. They're obligatory days of fasting and abstinence for Catholics. In addition, Fridays during Lent are this wrong every time. Obligatory. Days of abstinence. You're obliged. You must do it. It is your obligation. For members of the Latin Catholic Church, the norms on fasting are obligatory from ages 18 to 59 when fasting. I don't know if you guys are like me.
Hey, we're all
the Yeah. I don't know if you're like me, but the first thing that comes to mind is what? Why is there an age limit? Mm-hmm. Why 18? And what happened to 59? Are you dead after that or what? Dead spiritually? I don't understand it, but that's their rules.
Maybe by then you have the habit made to do it without being obligated. To me, it sounds like you should live that way every day.
Amen. So when fasting, a person is permitted to eat one full meal as well as two smaller meals that together are not equal to a full meal.
Hmm. One full
meal. Okay. All right. Danny, you and I would never make it. The norms concerning abstinence from the meat are binding upon members of the Latin Catholic Church from age 14 onward. It's binding. You must do this, right? What other sect or denomination put rules on people that were not of the Bible? The Jews, the Pharisees. 600 and what, Danny? 632 rules other than the Ten Commandments? They put 600 other rules on the people that, remember, Jesus said, you put these rules that you don't even follow, right? So the length of the Lenten fast, or the fasting during Lent, it was established in the 4th century as 46 days. 40 days, not counting Sundays. So they don't count Sundays during that time. And during Lent, participants eat sparingly, or they give up a particular food or a habit. It's not uncommon for people to give up smoking during Lent, or to swear off watching television or eating candy or other sinful habits. Well, I'm going to stop that for 40 days. No Carl's Jr. Western Bacon Cheeseburger for 40 days.
I'll die. You know what it reminds me of? So, and this is in no way to try to put down people's efforts to try to understand how others live.
Exactly.
But you'll see people that will even make a big deal about that they are going to go out and live like the homeless for a month.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be tough, but it's much easier to do knowing that you got a home to come back to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know what I mean? So it makes you feel good that you did it, but what did it really do in the end?
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
it's the same kind of thing. Well, I can go without that for
yeah.
You know, I cut that habit out for a couple
yeah,
of weeks.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I know in my head
that's right.
I can go back to it at the end.
So we're gonna talk about that in a little bit. Motive. Why do we do it? That's kinda like, you know, moving out of this country to another country, but you still have a home here, you know?
Yeah.
To come back to. Sell your home.
My security.
You have nothing to come back to. But it's not uncommon. See, the 6 weeks of self-discipline. Lent began as a way for the Catholics and whoever observed it to remind themselves of the value of repentance. That's what it initially started at. The severity or the sternness of the what is known as asceticism. What is that? Severe self-discipline and avoidance of all forms of indulgence, typically for religious reasons. They're keeping themselves from doing what they normally do. It's like a sacrifice, Sherry.
But repentance means that you walk away from that sin. You never
right.
go on sinning.
Right.
So if eating apples was a sin, you wouldn't ever eat an apple again.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be just that 40 days.
Exactly. 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 As I stated earlier, it began on what is known as Ash Wednesday, which is similar to how the people of the Old Testament fasted and repented in sackcloth and ashes. It's on your sheet there. Let's look at those. Beginning with Esther. Chapter 4. See, this is the origin of Ash Wednesday. So let's look at it on your sheet. Who would read Esther for me? 5 verses. Oh, yeah, 3. I'm sorry.
When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes.
Amen. Amen. And Jeremiah 6:26, who will read that?
O daughter of my people, dress in sackcloth and roll about in ashes. Make mourning as for an only son, whose most bitter lamentation, for the plunderer will suddenly come upon us.
Amen. And Daniel 9:3.
Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes.
Amen. So we see that the origin of it, over the centuries, the Lenten observance, they develop much more of a sacramental value. They're sacrificing something. This is a sacrament that we do. And many who observe Lent, either Catholics or some Protestants, believe that giving something up for Lent is a way to attain God's blessing. That's what they do. They're trying to be in more favor with God. They do it as a way of attaining God's blessing. Let me read something for you. This is a well-known actor who just this week, he says, it's a reminder. What is Lent? He says, no one is beyond redemption. It's a reminder that I need to do more. I need to be better. Adding, I think we all have things to repent for. It's good so far. I like that. This gentleman is talking to a foreign correspondent. I'm discussing the season of Lent. As we begin our own Lenten journeys today, starting with receiving ashes on our foreheads, as at Mass, this actor shared why anyone who is seeking to get right with God this Lent should take the opportunity. I feel like nobody is beyond redemption. God knows your heart, and if you are sincere and want to make amends and change your life, a lot of people say people don't change. People are very capable of change. People are capable of greatness, but you have to show people and be an example. So talking with Benjamin Hall, a Fox News senior correspondent, who lost both of his legs while reporting in Ukraine, the actor spoke about his own life and losses and suffering he's experienced, adding that there is only one remedy. I had a very troubled childhood until now, just, you know, being impatient with people, being short with people, not being as understanding and thoughtful. You get caught up in all these things of your everyday life. There's only one person who was perfect that walked this earth, and that was Jesus. And everybody else should be a little more mindful. And of course, tragedies do exist, but life looks a lot better when we can share the triumphs and tragedies with Christ, who shows us the way on the cross. There will be suffering, there will be loss, there will be failure. And the only way to deal with those things and to still have gratitude and appreciation, because people always have it harder than you, is to have a relationship with God. And there is a purpose for every one of us, this actor reflected. The actor, who is now a partner and investor in the Hollow Prayer app, is outspoken about his Catholic faith, often posting pictures on social media heading into Mass, shared what he is offering up this Lent with a call to be better. It's a reminder that I need to do more. I need to be better. I think we all have things to repent for. There are things that are in my life that are distracting and take away from my focus on building my relationship and getting closer to God, of course. Living that purpose-filled life that he chose for me. I would say that I'm nothing other than a humble servant to God. I was put in this position for a specific reason. And this actor is one of the first Catholic actors to put out an app during Lent to be able to do that. And so I'm going to end there. But he says he wants to encourage young people to help them avoid making the same mistakes that I made and that other people make. With God in your life every day, it allows you to be in the position where you can make the right choices. It's pretty crazy because only one time was Jesus ever mentioned in that statement. And the preface is that I need to do more and I need to be better. But it's all about redemption, he says. Well, redemption from what? From sin. Jesus came that we could be saved. And if the gospel wasn't projected in there, it's why I do what I do for God. See? Stick with what God has done. And as I go further in this, you're going to see a lot of times people, they don't have an understanding that when they allow them to put those ashes on their forehead, what are you saying? You're saying you have a relationship with God. But many people I've seen on TV this week who had them ashes, you're like, what about the other weeks? The other 300 and whatever weeks of the year. Man, that's not what you project.
If the ashes are, you know, one of the things to help remind them, it really isn't reminding you. I mean, how often are they looking in the mirror
Yeah.
during the day?
Yeah.
Probably rarely. So it's to show somebody else.
Yeah, it depends. It depends who it is.
Of Matthew, in Matthew 6:16, where Jesus talks about fasting.
Yeah.
He says, do not do like the hypocrites who put on a gloomy face and all these, you know, maybe ragged clothes to make it look so people can see I'm fasting, I'm sacrificing for the Lord. He says, no. You know, clean yourself up, anoint yourself, make yourself look good. The Lord is the only one that knows that you're fasting. It's not for other people to see.
Thanks for stealing my verse, Danny. Anyway.
Double.
I learned, I left you with, they do it as Lent is a way to attain God's blessings. If I do more, if I'm better, that I will be closer to God. But the Bible teaches that grace cannot be earned. Grace is, by definition, a gift, as we learned in Jonah. Also, what Danny was talking about, Matthew 6:16-18, Jesus said, when you fast, watch this, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others how that they're fasting. And I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, watch this, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. See, I don't think they understand. Number one, a lot of the folks that I grew up with in that church do not understand this verse. Why? Because they're never taught it. They're not to look at it. Because even a weirdo like me who's rebellious, when I read that, when I was out of that denomination, I'm like, wait a second. If you put those ashes and I need to wash my face, Jesus said, and not to let anybody know. The whole purpose of putting it on is to let people know I'm observing Lent. I am a Catholic, or I am a Protestant who observes Ash Wednesday. See, Jesus explicitly says, don't do it. Do not look somber as the hypocrites do. What is that? That we get our word hypocrite, our word actor, from the word hypocrite. They're acting. I'm acting like I'm a believer. So Jesus' command to wash your face seems to conflict with the practice of rubbing ashes on one's face on Ash Wednesday. I didn't say it, he did. But if I point it out, why am I going to be castigated by those who do it? Because they don't want to know the truth. I'll say this a couple of times. Well, matter of fact, in the next thing that I'm going to bring, alms, or I don't aim to attack or ridicule, but to point out the word of God says in the manner of fasting. That's what God's word says. So I'm either going to have truth or tradition. Which one am I going to follow? I need to follow the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say you need to follow these traditions, otherwise you're not going to make it into heaven. And I also want to say that fasting can be a good thing. And God is pleased when we repent of sinful habits. So are our doctors when we abstain from things we shouldn't eat, right? When we abstain from things that are not good for us. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with setting aside some time to focus on Jesus and his resurrection. I'm thankful that they do that. However, repenting of sin, as Sherry said, is something that we should be doing every day of the year, not just during those 40 days of Lent. Every day. What do people do? I sure can hardly wait till I get to Ash Wednesday so I can repent of all these sins. You know what the counter to that is? I don't need to wait to go to a confessional to confess my sin. I can go right to the Father, meaning God. If a Christian wishes to observe Lent, he or she is free to do so. And the key is to focus on repenting of sin and consecrating oneself to God. What does that word mean? To consecrate. I'm glad Kay asked me. It means to make or declare something typically a church sacred. Dedicate formally to a religious or divine purpose. I'm consecrating my life to God. I'm giving it to Him. Lent should not be a time of boasting of one's sacrifice or trying to earn God's favor or the increasing of His love. God loves us, or His love for us, I should say, could not be any greater than it already is. We cannot receive it because He's already given it at conversion. He loves you more than you can imagine. He's not going to love you more than He already does. And the Bible tells us that God loves us unconditionally. What does that mean? Without conditions. If you're a good little boy and girl, I will love you. If you go to church every Sunday, I will love you. That's not what God's agape love is. And there is nothing that we can do to achieve any greater love. It's all there. But why do we fall into that trap? So I need to do this so God will love me more, or that he'll do more for me. And as I stated earlier, Lent is typically associated with Catholics, though some Protestants observe it as well. Many of the customs surrounding Lent are various, and their origins are uncertain. A lot of people don't even know. I would love, and I think if I've run into any of my Catholic friends, I would say, so explain Lent. Tell me about it. I want to know. I want to know. Maybe you're going to tell me something I don't even know about it yet, but I do know about it. When I was doing it, I had no idea why I was doing it. You're just supposed to go that morning to Mass and you receive your ashes. Yep. You're being obedient. You're obligated. I fulfilled my obligation. Did it change the way that I acted? No.
I think there's a base nature in us, our fallen nature, that we like to do things that make us feel good about ourselves, even if it doesn't cost us anything. And I can use Peter as an example. You know, Lord, I'll go with you anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he was ready.
Yeah.
But at that point, it cost him nothing to say that.
That's right.
I'm sure he felt good about himself saying that. I'll stand with you, Lord, all the way, until it came to it.
Yeah.
And we've all probably known people that will talk about things that they want to do that's good for something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've been thinking about maybe, you know, going down and you know, spending time at the homeless shelter and doing all that. And they'll get all excited and talk about it and feel good about themselves, never follow through with it.
Yeah, exactly.
But they've got the good feeling already.
Yeah.
So that's, it cost them nothing.
Yeah.
And that, there's just something in us, I think,
yeah, there is.
That we
there is.
Do that. We like to feel like we're good.
Yeah.
Even knowing that it's not really going to cost us anything.
Yeah.
By saying it.
I think it's called the emotions of the heart. Because I recall when I was in the school of ministry, every Friday, missionaries would come in from different countries, and they would share their mission stories. And there wasn't a time that somebody in that school thought, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do that. And for a week, they thought about it until the next Friday. Then it was like, well, I think maybe God's calling me to that. It had always changed, right?
What do I have to do to give up?
That's it. That's it.
Right. I don't want to give up that. I don't want to give up that. So I guess I'll give up this idea.
Amen. Amen. So the customs change from time to time. Nobody really knows, can nail down the origin specifically. But Lent is neither, watch this because it's going to upset some people, it's neither a biblical mandate nor a biblical tradition, but is instead a liturgical tradition. What is that? A religious rite, R-I-T-E, or a body of rites, a ceremonial practice. Okay, that's what they use for that. If you attend this denomination, you must do this, right? The intent of the fast is to demonstrate penance in preparation for Easter. As Sherry said, we should be doing that every day. Mm-hmm. Every day. But if you think about it more closely, we are required to do that every time we take communion, isn't it? Make your heart right with God. If you have any sins, or if there's something that you have not taken care of, that the Holy Spirit is telling you, I want you to call that person and talk to them. Let them know you love them. But you know, you make things right no matter what it is. Our hearts have to be made right before the Lord. So the 40 days of fasting is meant to represent Jesus in the wilderness, the temptation that he had there. Look with me in Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at something. Luke chapter 4. The 40 days in the wilderness that he spent, or the supposed 40 hours that he spent in the tomb. We're going to look at where the number 40 comes from, or why do they use 40 in that. Luke chapter 4, and I would like somebody to read verses 1 through 12. Luke 4, 1 through 12. Nice and loud.
And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days while tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then he led him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not force a test on the Lord your God.
Amen. Amen. Hold your finger right there, because I want to share something a little bit more on that. Everywhere in there, obviously you guys have learned this before through your many Bible teachers in there. Every time that Satan asked Jesus something or to do something, first thing I want to point out in verse 1, it says Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. He was tempted 40 days. Satan asked him something, but Jesus answered him. He used scripture. He didn't have a dialogue with him. He answered it. 4 through 7, Satan goes at it again. Verse 8, Jesus answered, and he used scripture. Verses 9 through 11, Satan continues to go. By the way, when he says in there, if you are the Son of God, remember we use a grammatical thing in there. It's not if, as if he had doubt. Since you are the Son of God, see, look how even more conniving Satan is to Jesus. He knew who he was. Throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. See, he's quoting the Bible. He's quoting what's been written, but he's quoting it to the person who wrote it. It's like, man, are you dumb or what? But in verse 12, he says, and Jesus answered. Every time he says, it has been said that you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Think about that for a moment. He's looking at him saying, Satan, you should not tempt me. I am the Lord God, but you're tempting me. Look at verse 13. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. What does that mean? We should be prepared in whatever it takes to withstand the temptation of the devil, because he's going to come. He's going to come after us. He's going to come after us in word, in thought, in deed, no matter what it takes. When it's time to go to study, well, something came up. Well, or time to go to church to fellowship, well, you know, I'm not feeling now that great. You know what I always think about when I used to use that lame excuse? I see Jesus on the cross with nails and spikes driven through his hands and his feet. He didn't say, well, you know, I really don't feel like doing this. Yeah. Exactly. I remember I used to teach in Los Baños with the flu. And I had that mindset, well, Jesus was on the cross. But the mindset was wrong because it was on me. Look at everybody, I'm coming here sick, which was the dumbest thing in the world I could have done. Because I could get other people sick. Am I thinking about other people? I could have got somebody to teach for me, but I thought I was doing something noble, which it wasn't. The Lord showed me that. Jesus already did that for me. I didn't have to redo that to prove to him that I loved him.
Something that we need to be aware of, and I know we all know this, but it talks about the devil tempting Jesus through those 40 days, but then at his weakest, finally, after the 40 days, that's when he hit him with these really difficult.
Exactly, yeah.
So he got him at his weakest, physically.
Yeah.
He had to have been diminished. And so that's how Satan does with us too. You know, he tries to get us when we're at our weakest point and hit you with doubts.
The mistake is that people think that, well, he's God. He didn't have the feelings that we have. He didn't get hungry. No, he was a man, just like we were. He came as that to prove to us, look, this can be done. I would guard against that sometimes, but you know, it's funny because even in a lot of writings I read where they said, if you're going to fast, make sure you get a hold of your doctor beforehand, because there may be some things your body cannot go without. See, I know for me right now, it's protein. I need protein. I have to have protein. And if I go without that, so what else can I do? What else can I fast from in that? And if fasting is one way, then so be it. If a person wants to observe Ash Wednesday because they want to get closer to God, then know why you're doing it. And if it is in daily acknowledging the Lord in our midst, it's even better. And the fact is, Satan will not let up on us. He's going to bring about. He's made this whole thing just one big old religious thing, see? And like Jesus, he will leave us alone until an opportune time. They'll come back at us. We've seen it over and over. The number 40 may also be used because it's an important number in the Bible. For instance, the number of days of rain in Noah's flood, 40 days and 40 nights. Or the amount of time that Moses spent on the mountain with God, as we see in Exodus 24:18. And the number of years the Hebrews wandered in the wilderness, Numbers 14:33. And your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. 40 years. It took the Israelites 40 years to go 11 miles. Do you know how far that is? From my driveway to Dairy Queen in Sheridan. That's 11 miles. Took them 40 years. They were just going in circles. They were rebellious. They weren't getting it right. And if you look at Numbers 14, I mean, read it on your own, you're going to see in there God wasn't messing around. He's like, dude, you're going to be consumed. Your carcasses, I'm going to use that word. You're behind. It's going to get consumed in the wilderness.
I got to confess, I'm a little distracted on the fact that you actually know that that's 11 miles to Dairy Queen.
Because I looked it up. When I was
it's only 11 miles. Let's go.
When we were in the church in Los Baños, from our church, the address of our church, to what they call the D Dam, that was where the reservoir was. You could see it, big old mound. It holds the lake that John Kennedy dedicated in 1962. And so you could see it from where we are on a clear day, that is. And I told the people, it's from here to there. We can see it. 40 years. They're like, what? Yeah, it took them that long. How long has it taken us to get things right with the Lord? See? Let's not cast aspersions on them, right? So.
What was the scripture in Numbers?
In 14, chapter 14. Just look all through 14 on your leisure, and you'll be surprised. So we have a general idea in those 40 days of how long it was, the fast was, and possibly how it came about. As an observation, I'm going to close with this. This guy says the Lenten fast is observed differently by different people. Historically, from some, it has consisted of abstaining from all animal products. For others, fish and or poultry were allowed. Some ate only bread. Some would fast all for a whole day, whereas others would fast until mid-afternoon. Commonly, people ate only one small meal per day. Depending on the church authority of at the time, exceptions to the fasting guidelines could be made, often when paid for. What do they call it? Indulgences?
Indulgences.
Well, let me pay the church so I can keep eating ribeye on Friday. In addition to restricting the quantity and the type of food eaten, festivities were also often limited. It was expected that people focus on prayer and acts of charity. In current day Western societies, Lent has considerably changed. Some still observe fasts that restrict quantity and type of food. Many view Lent as a time in which you give up a particular vice, bad habit, or a pleasurable thing. For instance, they will vow to stop swearing, restrict time spent playing video games, or give up sweets. Not happening. Still, others choose to add a new habit to their routine, such as acts of kindness or prayer time. Another writer says, while there is certainly nothing wrong with preparing for Easter through some form of self-denial or intentional good works, it is important to realize that these will not win us God's favor. For some observers of Lent, it has taken on almost a sacramental element. Some believe that by observing Lent, they will win God's blessing. And it's important for us to know that our salvation is dependent solely on the gift of God. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. For you are saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God. And then it also says, and not of yourselves. You had nothing to do with it. God will never love his children any more than he already does. And he cannot love us any less. Romans 8:38-39. I love what this one writer says. He goes, it's not wrong to tell others about one's Lenten observance. However, We must not wear our abstinence or renewed focus on good works as a badge of pride. If a Christian chooses to observe Lent, it should be done. It should be out of a heart that yearns to truly appreciate the abundant grace of Christ's saving work on the cross. By reminding himself of his need and willfully submitting to Christ's authority, a Lenten observer prepares his heart to celebrate Easter with a renewed sense of joy and amazement. It is not 6 weeks of self-discipline to impress others or to impress God. Rather, it is a time of humbling oneself before God in a demonstration of dependence and thanksgiving. I love that. Lent ultimately will become an issue of our heart, a heart that God only knows all too well. He told us in Jeremiah 17:9 that our heart is deceitful and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord God, know it. And I would say we need to prepare our hearts that are deceitful and they're desperately wicked to be more observant and thankful for everything that he's done for us.
Amen.
One of the things that I won't go into the whole thing, but there's a thing in the Catholic Church where they are not allowed to eat meat on Fridays. And when I was observing that, I didn't know why until I got this thing where I want to know why. Why am I not supposed to eat meat on Friday? Well, this from the Council on the Bishops. Catholics practice various acts of penance and spiritual self-discipline during Lent. The approximately 40 days leading up to Easter, one of those disciplines and fasts requires Catholics to abstain from meat on Fridays during Lent. The rule is based on the authority of the Church, not on the authority of Scripture. Okay? I'm not knocking them. I'm saying I want them to know why you're not doing that or why you're not supposed to. The rule that Catholics cannot eat meat on Fridays during Lent is actually more lenient than what most Catholics in history have had to observe centuries ago. The Catholic Church had a law that forbade consuming meat on all Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Later, this rule was relaxed to remove meat from the diet on Ash Wednesday and all Fridays in 1966. I remember that. I remember going through that. I remember the change. I was only 11 years old. The Catholic bishops in America, with the blessing of Pope Paul VI, further relaxed the rule. And nowadays, meat is only prohibited on Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, and Fridays of the Lenten season. Catholics are obligated to observe this fast as a minimum. They can make up stricter requirements for themselves if they desire. The stated reason for Catholics not being allowed to eat meat on Fridays during Lent is to remind the faithful that Jesus died on a Friday. Jesus gave up his body, his flesh, and Catholics, in an effort to attain greater communion with Christ, refrain from consuming flesh. If that's the reason, see, that's the whole thing that we also will ask them. When you see a crucifix, we generally don't use crucifixes. Why? Jesus is still on that cross. We know he's not on that cross anymore, right? He's off of the cross. If there's no eating meat on Fridays, then why is eating fish allowed for Catholics? The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops states that fish are a different category of animal. So it's only the meat of warm-blooded animals that is prohibited. Eggs, butter, and milk are also allowed. I love that. So it's just the red meat. And I love what this guy says in closing in it. Abstaining from meat during Lent is simply a man-made ritual of the Catholic Church. It has no inherent spiritual value and cannot guarantee that a person draws closer to Christ. While fasting can be beneficial, it is always good to remember what Jesus said. And I want you to turn there, Matthew 15. Matthew 15, but Jesus said in verse 11, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them. So as we look at Matthew, very important. I just don't know why. Well, I know why. It's ignorance of the word. Ignorance of the word is no excuse. And I'm going to look at verses 1 through 20, so follow along with me. Matthew 15. Watch what happens. And then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus and said, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. What were they doing? If they owned anything and they were required to give that to their parents, they would say, I'm sorry, this has been gifted to God. Therefore, I don't have to give it to you. That's what they were doing. It was an excuse, so to speak. And then verse 6, then he need not honor his father and mother, and thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. That's a huge verse. Then he says in verse 7, hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. That's what we have here. That's a doctrine of a commandment of men. It's not mandated by them. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just being truthful. Verse 10, and when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. And then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard him say, is you saying this? Think about that for a moment. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. And so Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man.
All that because of the...
Exactly. I hope and I pray that if you didn't have an understanding of what it was, that you do now. But along with that, that our hearts would be prepared for this upcoming Good Friday and for Resurrection Sunday. And by the means he gives us through his word to observe it. I can look to say, Lord, what do you have for me to do in this, in preparing for that? I love what Jesus said in verse 16. Are you also still without understanding? He's saying the Pharisees, they didn't understand it. And are you still without understanding? I've just told you what it was. And the information I have to share today is what is out. And it's not meant to ridicule or to mean any denomination. That's not my desire. My desire is for us to be knowledge and have knowledge in what the Word of God says. So when you do see that, when I see folks with ashes, I pray for them. Lord, I pray that they genuinely have a relationship with you and that they will grow in that. I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, you're a hypocrite. I'm not going to do that. I used to do that, by the way. You got to understand, when I left that denomination, I felt like I was ripped off because I didn't know this, the Bible. I didn't know. I knew tradition. And the more I began to study the Word of God, the madder I got, because I thought, why wasn't I taught this? I went to a friend of mine's Bible study one time. He was invited to go to this Catholic church to do a Bible study on a midweek. And he took his Bible in there, and one of the guys in there said, why do you have that? He goes, and Joel says, this is a Bible study, isn't it? He goes, well, yeah, we're going to read from the Word of God. His response was, we don't do that. Then Joel says, well, then I got to go. I thought this was a Bible study. I don't want to learn the traditions of men. I'm not demeaning. I'm just saying, if I use the word ignorant, it's not to slam someone. It's to say what that means, without knowledge. That's what ignorance is. And the more they stay without knowledge, the further they're going to stay away from it, because we have freedom in Christ.
If you look at really the whole working of the Old Testament in Israel, the increase of tradition coincided with the decrease of faith.
Yeah.
Trusting God.
Yeah.
The people need something.
Yeah, exactly.
So if I ain't got faith in a relationship,
yeah,
with God, then I need something to replace to make me feel like I'm being,
yeah,
good. So I do traditions.
Yeah.
That way I don't have to worry about having a personal relationship.
Sure.
And the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life.
Sure. It's about feelings. If I can feel that way, well, I do whatever it takes to make me feel that way. But how about if you actually can get to the point where you are that way? I have a friend, I shared this before. He goes, he's a Protestant. You know, we argue scripture till the sun went down. But we love each other. He goes to Mass every morning because that's where he sees God. The stained glass windows, the statues, everything. He feels the presence of God there. Should I condemn him for that? No. Funny, though, because he had this wonderful backyard. He's got this big rock waterfall. It just makes the right noise so that I can sit there. I just feel the presence of God in his own backyard. And yet he doesn't have that, see? So perspective is everything. Ambiance is everything for me. But we don't need that to show people who we are, because it's our hearts. God wants our hearts to be made right. And that's what we're called to do. Amen. Lord, I want to thank you for just the opportunity, Lord, through your word, Lord, both Old and New Testament, to show us, to teach us, Lord, for we don't want to be ignorant of your word, Lord. We want to know everything that you have for us that we can walk.